It is my distinct pleasure to have an old friend and a man I have admired for many, many, many years on the phone with me now. It is Fred Mitchell, the prolific, intelligent sports writer. Fred, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. We are going to devote most of the rest of this show to talking about your latest book, The History of Loyola Basketball, More Than a Shot and a Prayer, but I would be terribly remiss, given your expertise in all things sports, not to ask you, what did you think of the Kentucky Derby yesterday, Fred Mitchell?
Well, I was watching like millions of other people, and the former sports writer in me came out. My first thought was, boy, if I was there writing this story and having to change everything after the delay, how troubling that would have been. But in terms of actually what happened the way things changed at the end, I think they did the right thing. It certainly wasn't necessarily a popular thing to do.
That's for sure.
To say the least, right? But they said that this is something that they would have done if it had been a so-called ordinary race on a Wednesday, with the evidence that they had in front of them. They took so much time to look it over and to talk to the jockeys involved and everybody involved. And it seems like they did a responsible thing, even though it upset an awful lot of people.
On some level, and you can talk to this too, and we will. We're going to spend the whole half hour talking about your book, but I just, whenever, if I saw you on the street, I'd be asking you about the Derby. The thing is, it's like, it seemed to me, and I'm a big, and always have been a big fan of thoroughbred racing, admiring the horses as athletes and the jockeys as athletes. And given the recent, the spate of deaths at Santa Anita, something like 21 horses dying in 3 or 4 months, and the sort of overall image of thoroughbred racing, this almost felt to me like another nail in the coffin. Am I making too much of that, Fred, or do you think thoroughbred racing in this country is in trouble?
Well, certainly it is in trouble. As it relates to what happened in this Derby, after we saw the replays and the slow motion and all that, and we saw the horses, coming very, very close that could have been very tragic for a lot of people, the jockeys and the horses. And fortunately, it did not come to that. But there's so much rightful attention about the treatment of horses and animals.
Yeah,
that would have been really tragic.
I think it came really, really close. Before we get to the news, I want to read a bit from the preface of, and again, Fred Mitchell's latest book is The History of Loyola Basketball, More Than a Shot and a Prayer. It is, I don't care how big a fan you are or how much time you devoted to reading stories in newspapers and magazines about this last year's, the 17-18 season's remarkable journey, you haven't read anything with the depth that Fred will show you in this book. And that is in part because, as he writes in the preface, growing up a Chicago sports fan and later becoming a Chicago sports writer afforded me an unobstructed view of the city's college and professional teams as they succeeded and failed. For 4 decades, I accrued enough media credentials to decorate a Christmas tree. I was the only sports writer in Chicago Tribune history to meet the Bain beat reporter covering the Cubs, Bears, and Bulls as a main assignment, but that was just for starters. We will talk all about this book after the news. Fred Mitchell, as I said at the outset here, is a is a man, a newspaper man, for whom I have great, great admiration. And this book, The History of Loyola Basketball, More Than a Shot in a Prayer, is just, Fred, it's just, it is such a delightful read. And I know you cover, near the end of it, every single game of that remarkable year. And it brought me back. I mean, it took me back. It evoked, I didn't see every game, that's for sure. But it evoked what a special year that was, and we'll get into more detail after the news. So, Fred, you hang on, you listeners hang on, and we'll be back. Welcome back. That's from Solophone, Chicago Soul Jazz Collective. I'm Rick Kogan, and my guest for the rest of this show is my friend Fred Mitchell, one of the great sports writers in the last 40 years in this country, not just this city. We were lucky enough to have him in the city. His latest book is The History of Loyola Basketball, More Than a Shot and a Prayer. There were so many things, Fred Mitchell, about, and you had covered Loyola in some of your later years at the Tribune, but there were so many things that were compelling about that year. But I'm telling you something, what distinguishes the 180 so pages of this book is the way in which you put it in perspective. It was joyful for me to read about the 1963 Loyola team that you and I, both as teenage boys, remember so well. But I think, even with all the coverage of Loyola, a lot of people forgot. That was a seminal year and a seminal time. And an important time. You devote a whole chapter, chapter 3, to that. Could you talk about that for a while, Fred? I'm not sure many people or publishers, they'd say, oh, well, yeah, just put a little something in about 1963. You devote an entire chapter to it, and I think it's an extremely important chapter in the book.
Yeah, I do, too. Thank you, Rick.
Sure.
As I was writing the book and thinking about the national championship that the Loyola team won in men's basketball in 1963, I came across so many other important things that happened, not just in sports, but social issues.
Yeah.
It was just really groundbreaking. It was a different, a different era. And those of us of a certain age, you remember where you were when you heard things happening.
October 22nd,
Kennedy,
November 22nd,
Kennedy being assassinated. I remember sitting at a kitchen table with two classmates when we were having lunch right before heading back to school, and looking at a black and white TV and just being, stunned at what we saw and heard there. 1963 also happened to be the year the Bears won the Pro Football NFL Championship. This predated the Super Bowl, so the preeminent team in the NFL was playing in the NFL Championship game. I was fortunate enough to attend that game with my father at Wrigley Field, and froze to death. Still trying to thaw out from that game, but I remember every detail of that 14-10. Victory by the Bears.
And I too, one thing you told me that I did not know, because we're roughly the same age, Fred, and I was thinking to myself, okay, I could sit here and tell a lot of things about 1963. One of the things I didn't know is that a guy named Michael Jordan was born on February 17th, 1963, which may go down someday as the biggest event of that year.
Exactly. Yeah, that kind of shocked me too. I looked that up and said, "Wow, that was quite a year, wasn't it?"
But the other thing about that year, and what you do so remarkably well in this chapter, Fred, is it was a very, very different kind of racial environment, was it not? One that I think is very hard for people who weren't around then to even imagine, frankly.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and it was epitomized by what the African American players on the 1963 Loyola team had to endure and overcome, and the remarkable courage of the coach George Ireland, who dared to start four African American players on the basketball court. Like you say, it's hard to believe, but during that era, it was sort of a unspoken, unwritten gentleman's agreement among the white coaches that you don't put more than two African American players on the court at the same time. He did it, and they won. And like I said, they had to endure many indignities, and yet they persevered and went about their business, and not only won a championship on the basketball court, but all of the players on that 63 team not only graduated from Loyola, but I think there was a total of 21 degrees obtained by the members of that team over the years. Dick Rouse, who was the guy who tipped in the winning basket. He had like three master's degrees and a PhD by himself. So
yeah, I'll forgive Johnny Egan for becoming an attorney, but that's another matter altogether. But I think literally that is such an important chapter in this book. Because, they were getting threats from the Ku Klux Klan, for God's sake. Yeah. And I think in their quiet way, certainly myself as a teenager in that era, very, very excited about the victory. But, in a very quiet way, they did those guys and that team did a lot for easing some racial strife, I think, just by the dignified way in which they went about their business.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, one of the hallmark games of that season was against Mississippi State.
Yeah.
And the quick story of it is that they were to play Mississippi State in the NCAA tournament in the early round game in Lansing, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And the governor of Mississippi forbade the team from playing integrated teams. And the players themselves wanted to, they wanted to play basketball and they wanted to prove themselves. So they ended up in the middle of the night with their coach flying in a private plane and defied the orders of the governor of Mississippi. Yeah. They played the game. Loyola won, of course,
mm-hmm.
but it was a remarkable game. And I had a chance to interview players from both those teams. About 5 or 6 years ago, and they talked about the impact that meeting had on their lives, not just their speech, but their entire lives.
This is a remarkable book, but that chapter just jumped out at me, as it will anybody. Anybody listening who was a teenager in the early 60s will just be, it's like a book in itself. But back to this team. Knowing this team and knowing this coach, before you left the Tribune, and you knew a bit about them and you watched them, could you ever, Fred Mitchell, have anticipated the run they would have in 17-18?
No, not so soon, certainly. Like you said, I covered his teams in 2014 and 15, and Porter Moser, the coach, was very earnest and sincere about creating a winning culture. He constantly talked about that, and recruiting players from winning programs, and guys who were good students as well, and good character guys. And, it all sounded well and good at that time, and you just felt then that, they're not going to be able to win a major championship going that route. So to see them actually do that and get to the Final Four,
amazing!
Do it the right way. I mean, you couldn't write a fantasy fictional.
No, it's like it was. I mean, it literally was like the college version of Hoosiers or something. I mean, I it was flabbergasting on every level and terribly, terribly, terribly exciting. Another thing you do in this book, Fred Mitchell, and the book again is The History of Loyola Basketball, More Than a Shot in a Prayer. It basically is focused on the astonishing winning streak, but it does take in the whole gamut of things. We just talked about Chapter 3, about the 1963 win set against the backdrop of a tumultuous year, and but also some incredible racial strife. You write here, too, Fred, in, I think this might be Chapter 2, I'm going through this, but you write, Loyola's success in 2017-18 revived hope that the Chicago area basketball programs could indeed take center stage among the nation's elite. And then you do a very nice job of talking about how this place, and reminding me in some ways, used to, good Lord, this was a breeding ground for great talents, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, so many star players that I covered way back at the beginning of my Tribune career when I was covering high school sports, and saw players like Isaiah Thomas,
Mark McGuire,
Doc Rivers, on and on, Terry Cummings, sure. All of these guys who went on to have stellar NBA careers, and yet most of these guys escaped Chicago, with the exception of McGuire and Cummings.
Yeah,
there's just been so much talent in Chicago, and it's you know, sad that we have not had very many winning teams.
Yeah, it's because part of it is college basketball has gone very, very strange to me. You know, especially the one and out, the one and done kind of thing that's going on. And you know, you look at Zion. I would love to have watched, as I did, you know, Bill Walton play 4 years at UCLA. I would have loved to have watched Zion Williamson play 4 years at a college. Can you even imagine? That would have been something. I don't begrudge him leaving because he's automatically set for life, but wow, that's something that I think made college basketball so exciting in the day. Do you agree with that, Fred, or not?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, and it's and in a strange way, it probably made it possible for Loyola to get to the Final Four,
because
they don't have the one and done guy. So you've got guys playing 4 years, you get that senior leadership.
Yep.
You get the guys playing as a unit and respecting which contribution each guy can make and fit in. So that probably made that more possible than it would be otherwise.
No question.
But I agree that it's unfortunate that you don't have more players playing three or four years.
Yeah, it was exciting when they did. I mean, Bill Walton is never my favorite basketball player, man, but when he was a senior at UCLA, he was, and, you know, Al Cinder, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Fred, we got to take a little commercial break, and then I want to come back and talk about, she wasn't a player, but she certainly was a star of that year, and I want to get some insight. I want to give you my impression of Sister Jean, and then I want yours, so we'll be back in a couple minutes. Welcome back. I've never enough time with Fred Mitchell, but I'll use it as energetically as I can. We're talking about his book, The History of Loyola Basketball, More Than a Shot and a Prayer. It is more than the history of Loyola basketball. It's a book of, it's only 180 pages, but it's a book of great depth and understanding, which you would expect from Fred after 40 years as a great sports writer here. Before we get to the woman who graces the cover of the book, and I'm sure you all can imagine who that is, Fred, do you think that the coach, Peter Mosier, has, even though he's getting nibbles, I was very pleased that he turned down, I guess it was a St. John's offer or something, at, you know, some grotesque figure of, you know, $5 million or something. Do you think he's built a program here that could be a consistent March Madness player?
I do, Rick. And, you know, it takes a commitment from the entire university and athletic department and everybody on board. And that's so important to him. I know that a new practice facility is being built. It's supposed to be ready, I think, in August. That Alan Warville, who was a former player, back in the late 50s at Loyola. He's become a very wealthy and successful businessman, and has contributed a lot of his resources. So he's the main guy behind this new practice facility. So they need to, have the facilities to help attract prominent high school players. And they can, I believe, become similar to other mid-majors like Butler, yep, and Gonzaga and schools, mm-hmm, of that size. Nice.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that, and I'm also glad, and obviously it solidifies his place at Loyola when he... I can't remember. I may be wrong. Was it St. John's, or he got a big offer, right?
Yes. It was a long-term, 17 or 18, some crazy number.
Yeah, crazy.
and it just, you hear a lot of rhetoric and cliches from a lot of coaches, but in this case, he really... stepped up and did what he said.
Yeah.
And said that you don't have to have all the money in the world to be rich. And he said a friend of his told him that don't run away from happiness. And he said, I'm very happy here at Loyola, and that's great to see.
Yeah, I thought it was great to see in this crazy, crazy sports era. Now, on to the cover girl of your book. Sister Jean intrigued me, but one of the, and I learned a great deal about her from your book, not so much from media coverage of her, because I think a lot of the media coverage wound up kind of turning her into a caricature of sorts. This is a human being, is it not?
Yes. And the thing is that she was the chaplain of the Loyola basketball team since 1994.
Right.
This is not somebody who jumped on the bandwagon just last year, when it went to the Final Four. And she's provided so much, Porter Moser referred to her as the team's comfort blanket.
Yeah.
And she's somebody who connects well with not only the basketball players, but also all the students who are not necessarily athletes. And, she sends text messages to each one of the players and the coaches after every game, win or loss.
Yeah,
go get them next time, or watch out for this guy next week. That kind of thing. So she is totally involved. And for your listeners who may not know, she's 99 years old.
Yeah,
she'll turn 100 on August 21st. She's still very vibrant and clear minded, and I've enjoyed being in her presence. Book signing, and she's very sharp.
Well, the great thing, I get that sense from your book too, that you treat her not as a curio, but as what she is, a real fascinating human being. That's another aspect of your book, Fred, that I really love. This book, again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure it's available at any site you might want to go to. I don't know if you're doing any signings coming up, Fred, or no.
Yeah, we're planning to. We had one already at Loyola. I would say that both Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com make it available, and my Twitter handle is at kicker34.
That's right.
And I was a kicker.
Yes, you were.
So when we plan our next book signing, I'll certainly
let me know and I'll let the listeners know too. Because it's really a great... you've written a lot of books, Fred Mitchell, and you've written, tens of thousands of newspaper stories. You're now involved with the Blackhawks as a community correspondent, working for Rocky Wirtz, who is a fascinating guy. And you want to know something interesting? Rocky Wirtz and I played football against one another in high school.
Wow!
Yeah, tell him I knocked him on his behind. No, I couldn't. He was a lineman, and I was a tiny, 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 tiny halfback both ways. Fred, I miss seeing you, but nobody goes in the office anymore at the Tribune anyway. So who cares? Who cares? I cannot tell you how much I like this book, The History of Loyola Basketball: More Than a Shot and a Prayer. It's 180 pages of very exciting reading, but also of reading of great depth. Fred, it's always great to talk to you. Love to your wife and Cameron.
All right. I appreciate it so much.
My pleasure. Always. Always. What a decent, good guy. And really was. I mean, if you've read newspapers in this town, he was, and also a real gentleman. You know, he no cheap shots, none of that jazz.